Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Global Logistics Properties FY 2014 Results Conference Call and Webcast. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday, 23rd of May, 2014. I would now like to hand the call over to Ms. Amber Goyal. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining our fourth quarter and full year 2014 earnings conference call and webcast. Our presentation material and webcast are all available on our website. We are calling in today from São Paulo, Brazil, where we will hear from Jeff Schwartz, Co-founder of GLP and Chairman of the Executive Committee, who will provide an overview of our results. Jeff will be followed by Ming Mei, our Co-founder and CEO, who will further discuss our business, the operating environment, and our key achievements. Then we will end with Heather, our CFO, who will provide an overview of our earnings. We will close the call with a Q&A session. We ask, please ask a maximum of two questions together. Thank you, and I'll now hand the call over to Jeff.
Thank you, Amber, and thanks to everyone for joining the call. Fiscal year 2014 was a great year for GLP, and a particularly satisfying one for Ming, myself, and our senior management team. It was a year where we again surpassed our goals, and more importantly, firmly established the foundation for the next phase of the company's growth. Back in the fall of 2010, some of you may remember, during our IPO, there were those who were skeptical that we could achieve the targets we had set for ourselves. Those targets were increased development starts in China by 20%-25% per annum. We exceeded the target, growing by approximately 57% per annum over this period and projected to grow by 43% in fiscal year 2015. We talked about growing China NAV to be greater than Japan NAV. At the time of our IPO, Japan comprised 76% of our NAV, with China only 24%. Today, China is 53% and Japan 23% of our NAV. Maintain and grow our market leadership positions in China and Japan. Despite the intensifying competition, we have strengthened our platform. Credit to the fabulous team we have assembled. We have also established the largest platform for logistics real estate in Brazil. We also said we would recycle capital through our J-REIT and create a world-class fund management platform. Today, our total assets under management stand at over $11 billion. Private Equity Real Estate magazine puts GLP as the largest Asia-focused fund management business in real estate, and on a global basis, we are 10th after 4 years. All these accomplishments we have delivered within 4 years since our IPO, and now we have begun our most major initiative to raise the bar again and take us to the next level. Our shareholders have approved a landmark China consortium agreement, and this agreement is transformational on multiple levels. First, our new partners, which include China Life, Bank of China, and Hopu, strengthen our land acquisition capabilities indirectly and through their relationships, which is important as new land reforms further constrain supply, help us further. Our strategic partnerships propel our land sourcing to the next level. Second, it enhances our access to other customers who have very significant demand. GLP's large portfolio will allow us to win and retain customers' increasing requirements. GLP is able to provide fully integrated solution to help our customers optimize their supply chains, driving down costs. Third, the Chinese investor consortium provides additional capital as we look to capture the approximate $2.5 trillion market opportunity we see over the next 15 years in China. My partner, Ming, our China CFO, Teresa, Heather, our CFO, Kent, the president of our Japan business, and our CIO, in China, Higashi and their teams worked very hard and did a great job. No, let me correct that. A phenomenal job getting this done. This landmark partnership agreement is expected to be completed in two tranches. The first tranche, comprising approximately 65% of the capital, is expected to close on June 6, 2014, in a few weeks. The second tranche of 35% is expected to be completed within 6 months of this first closing. Our platform in Brazil is expected to be significantly large with the strategic acquisition of 36 completed properties from BR Properties. We expect this to close the second week in June. The portfolio comprises 1.2 million square meters of high-quality logistics assets with quality tenants such as Unilever, DHL, Nestlé, Volkswagen, and P&G. We have received approval from the antitrust authorities for the first tranche, comprising approximately 83% of the assets. Again, we expect to close second week of June 2014, with the remainder closing in the third quarter of this fiscal year. This transaction doubles our completed portfolio to 2.6 million square meters, making us four times the size of our closest competitor. Turning our attention to our results, GLP had a very strong fourth quarter, capping off a terrific year with record leasing, completions, and land acquisitions across all markets. Later, Ming will talk us through operational progress we're making in China, Japan, and Brazil. Fiscal year 2014 earnings were 30% higher than last year on a pro forma basis after adjusting for contribution in Japan properties to the GLP J-REIT and FX movements. China remains the key driver of our business, with China earnings up 42% year-on-year. Our financial position remains strong with low leverage. Our balance sheet net debt to assets is under 9%, or 15% on a look-through basis. We believe the stronger our balance sheet is, the greater our response can be and quicker our response can be in capitalizing on opportunities to selectively expand our network and meet our customers' growing demands and needs. Turning to slide five, let's look at an overview of key business highlights for the fourth quarter and full year, which you can see on this slide five of our presentation. Our strong lease ratios and sustained rental growth underscore the significant demand we see in all of our markets. In Q4 fiscal year 2014, we leased 1.2 million square meters, up 124% year-on-year. 1 million square meters in China alone, up 123% year-on-year. Our portfolio remains well leased across all of our markets, 91% in China, 99% in Japan, and 96% in Brazil. We expect rents to continue to grow. We expect value creation margins on development to 25%-30% in China will continue even as we ramp up development starts to meet the significant demand we see. For fiscal year 2015, we are targeting to begin $2.7 billion in new developments, an increase of 38% over this year. $1.7 billion will be in China, which alone is expected to generate approximately $500 million of value creation for GLP and its investors over the near term. Our development platform continues to deliver continuous growth, generating $205 million of value creation for GLP in fiscal year 2014. Fund management continues to be an important source of growth for the company, with fee income of $25 million in the fourth quarter of this fiscal year, double that of a year ago. We have deployed capital productively at a pace that exceeded our customers' expectations from both the timing and, importantly, from a return perspective. Given the compelling opportunities we see across all our markets, we expect fund fees to more than double over the next 3 years as the uncalled capital of $4.2 billion is invested and we create new funds. Our capital base remains healthy, providing us with stability and flexibility to pursue our growth plans. Our weighted average maturity of debt is stable at 4.3 years. Our net cash position is strong at $1.5 billion, and fixed rate debt accounts for 73% of our total debt outstanding. And the board is pleased to propose a full year dividend of 4.5 Singapore dollar cents for an ordinary share, up 13% from last year. Now I'd like to turn this over to my partner Ming, who will further discuss how we performed during the year and the compelling long-term growth opportunities we see in our markets.
Thank you, Jeff. On slide six, you can see that financial year 2014 was a record year of leasing for GLP across China, Japan, and Brazil, driven by significant demand for modern facilities and also driven by domestic consumption. New and expansion leases across the group was 1.2 million square meters for the quarter and 3 million square meters for the full year. That's up 124% and 74% year-on-year, respectively. China was particularly strong, contributing 1 million square meter of new and expansion leases in the fourth quarter alone. A key component of this growth was 71% of the new leases were signed by existing customers. This demonstrates the increasing customer stickiness and the benefit of network effect. Domestic consumption remains the key driver of demand. The basic day-to-day daily consumer goods such as food and household necessity are over 40% of our total space leased in China. This demand will remain very stable and protecting GLP from wider economic fluctuation while forming a stronger base to drive growth. The dramatic growth in e-commerce is driving demand for modern facilities, and the increasing focus on the last mile delivery is creating significant demand for a national network. Online retailers and express delivery customers contributed 45% of China leases in the fourth quarter alone. Space leased by these e-commerce customers have increased at a compound annual growth rate of 105%, while their share of the total lease area have increased from just 4% in financial year 2010 to 25% today. Our business is focused on retail and domestic consumption trend. So GDP is important but doesn't have direct correlation. With more than 10 million people migrating from the country area to the city each year, China is expected to be 70% urbanized by 2030. This will drive consumption demand, and as a consequence, logistics facility demand will also increase. This is especially relevant for inland regions, which are emerging as a strong driver of online shopping in China. E-commerce is probably the most economic way for many retailers to reach the customers in the less developed areas in China. And we have seen online expenditures in second and third tier cities surpass that of first tier cities. On slide eight, looking at China more in more detail. During the year, we met our target. We had stated that we will start 2.5 million square meters of new projects, and we delivered that. And with that, the total development cost is about $1.2 billion. And GLP started an average of approximately 3 development properties a week. For financial year 2015, GLP expects to start $1.7 billion new development and an increase of 43% year on year. And our share of that is approximately $1 billion. As of today, the company has commenced $541 million dollars of starts, or approximately one-third of the total year's development start target. We continue to focus on growing our land bank, with 1.7 million square meter available space acquired in the financial year 2014, that's up 39% year-on-year. Our land reserve stands at 12.8 million square meters, that's up 22% year-on-year, even after converting a significant amount of land reserve into our land bank. A large land reserve provides ample pipeline for future growth to meet the customer demand. On slide nine, it gives you a snapshot of China portfolio. Same property net operating income in China rose 7.7% year on year, with the same property rent up 5.4%. During the year, rent increased 7.1% on renewal leases in China. We expect rental growth to be an increasing contributor to growth as our current in-place rent are renewed at market rates. Now let's touch on the logistics property market in Japan on slide 10. Demand for high-quality state-of-the-art Cyclex resistant facility remains strong, with GOP Japan posting its highest level of leasing of 414,000 square meters in the financial year 2014. That's up 57% year-on-year. Our new development are progressing ahead of the projected schedule. We're leasing up faster and achieving rents higher than budget. For instance, GOP Ayase is already 100% pre-leased and ahead of completion in April 2015. Over the past year, we have seen further growth and repeat business with our existing customers. Multi-location customers contribute 52% of our new and extension leases in 2014. We are seeing two key factors consistently driving our business in Japan. One is that we continue to see more companies outsourcing the facility requirement and their logistics services. And two, the old obsolete inventory is being torn down and replacement need be replaced there. So first, the growth in the third-party logistics providers who are benefit from the country's ongoing supply chain modernization, sustainably, all the new leases that we have signed over the past year are with 3PL providers. Second, the limited supply of modern logistics facility. Currently, the share of modern warehouse space, again, total supply is only 2.8% in Japan. This is tremendous demand for relocation to modern facilities for tenants who are currently using small and functional obsolete facilities. In Hiroshima, we signed a lease with a new 3PL customer who has consolidated operations from multiple warehouses to establish a regional distribution center and a logistics property. During the year, GOP commenced 453,000 square meter development start in Japan with a total estimated development cost of $734 million. This exceeds our target of 400,000 square meters. We're focused on the two major markets of Tokyo and Osaka, where demand continues to significantly outstrip supply. In Osaka, the vacancy rate for modern logistics facility is virtually zero. In Tokyo, it is also at a historical low level of 4%. For financial year 2015, we are targeting to begin 450,000 square meter of new development in Japan with a total estimated development cost of $675 million. On slide 11, I'll give you a picture of our Japan portfolio, 85% of which is located in the prime market of Tokyo and Osaka. The lease ratio remained high at 99%, with a high rent retention, high rental, high tenant retention rate at 80%. Rent remains stable with a long weighted average lease expiration. We have seen cap rate decrease on the back of improved economy, and expect further room for compression. The upcoming Tokyo Olympic should also be a driver for demand and growth of business. Looking forward, we feel positive about leasing prospects. Monthly customer inquiry remains strong at more than 500,000 square meters. That's up 85% from before economic. Supply remains limited, and we have less new completion in financial year 2015. Now we turn to Brazil on slide 12. Leasing in Brazil has been consistently been growing, with 150,000 square meters of new and extension leases signed in the fourth quarter. While GDP growth had moderated, domestic consumption remained robust. Our customer base was boosted by the significant lease we signed with Richola, basically Brazil's largest fashion retailer, equivalent to the U.S. version of Gap, and Tecum, a leading 3PL provider in the country. Richola moved from their own warehouses, which was old and obsolete, and they start leasing. Before this, they have built their own warehouses. And we expect this trend to continue for other companies. The same store property rent in Brazil increased 6.3% year-on-year during the quarter. As Jeff mentioned earlier, our market leading position in Brazil shall further strengthen should be further strengthened following the strategic acquisition of 36 completed properties from BR Properties. The transaction is expected to be immediately accretive to GLP, with a yield on revenue of 9.55%. This is more favorable than what we have first announced, driven by inflation-linked rental increases. GLP does not need to issue equity to complete this transaction. Upon closing, GLP will own 100% of the portfolio, but we are talking to our existing partners to have a potential injected into our fund management platform. GLP started development of 72,000 square meter in Brazil in financial year 2014, led by customer demand. We are now targeting 400,000 square meter development start in 2015, with a total estimated development cost of $390 million. Brazil's large population, domestic consumption demand, and outsourcing trend of owner-occupied to lease will continue to drive a demand for business in Brazil. And for now, I'd like to hand over to Heather to go with financial highlights.
Thank you. Let me start by outlining some of our new disclosures. GLP is committed to upholding best-in-class practice in corporate disclosure and transparency. As part of this effort, we're getting additional information starting this quarter to help investors and analysts further understand our business. Most of the new disclosures can be found in the supplemental financial information that we post to the website. You can download this directly in your docs. First, we have provided a pro rata income statement on page 7 of our supplemental information. GLP's business model is to a significant extent built around development of joint ventures and fund projects with partners. So the pro rata information adjusted for GLP's share should give you a better and more complete picture of our business. Second, we have provided a new disclosure on our property starts and completions in dollar value. With land prices expected to continue steadily rising, it will be more meaningful for investors and analysts to focus on dollar value rather than square meters. You will be able to find those numbers for the current and past quarters in our slides, as well as on page 2 of our supplemental information. A third, we have disclosed the fund management fees on a 100% basis to be consistent with peers and across our funds. We show fund fees on slide 21. We hope this is going to help the investing community further understand the embedded value of our fund management platform. Now please turn to slide 15 of our presentation, which shows an overview of our financial results for the fourth quarter and the full year. Fiscal year 14, group's revenue was US$598 million, 7% lower than last year, mainly due to the sale of the property to JREIT and the FX movement. Adjusting for those items, group revenue actually increased 20% year-on-year, underpinned by robust development momentum and rental growth in China. Fiscal year 14, group EBIT and earnings were stable. Adjusted for JREIT and FX movements, our group EBIT and earnings were up 22 and 31% respectively. Looking at our quarter results, group revenue increased 20% year-on-year, driven by completion and the lease-up of developments in China, with increasing rents as well as continued growth in GLP fund management platform. Q4 fiscal year 14, group EBIT and earnings were 14% and 29% lower than last year due to JREIT and FX impact, as well as revaluation gains we booked in Brazil in 4Q last year. 4Q fiscal year 14 included a one-time positive tax impact of US$11.6 million at the group level, as GLP continues to optimize its tax structure. In addition, the company's share of results from joint control entities included a fair value loss of US$12.6 million one time, mainly due to cap rate expansion that averaged 50 basis points in Brazil. Adjusted for J-rate and FX movements, 4Q fiscal year 2014 group earnings was up 31% year-on-year before revaluing gains. Slides 16 and 17 highlight China revenue and then EBIT in 4Q fiscal year 2014. In local currency terms, our China quarterly revenue increased by 34% year-on-year, driven by completion and the lease-up of developments in China. EBIT, excluding revaluation, was up by 42% year-on-year in RMB terms, 47% in US dollar terms, mainly due to the appreciation of RMB. Slide 17 shows full-year comparison for China. In US dollar terms, revenue was up 43% year-on-year, driven by true-up of revenue at the DLP Beijing Airport City Logistics Park, strong leasing momentum, and higher rents. EBIT excluding revaluation increased by 50% year-on-year. Now let's turn to 18 and 19 for Japan. The J-REIT bars represent net impact arising from asset disposition to J-REIT, which are mostly lost revenues associated with those properties, offset by incremental fees income from J-REIT. On a comparative basis, excluding the J-REIT impact, 4Q revenue was up 3% year-on-year in local currency terms, as operating income for new development projects start to kick in. In US dollar terms, 4Q revenue was up by 2%. 4Q EBIT excluding valuation was higher than prior year by 5% in local currency and 6% higher in US dollar. Slide 19 shows full year numbers for Japan. There were a number of one-off factors in the prior year. This included an early lease termination fee and a one-off gains on disposal of assets. Adjusting for those items, revenue would have increased by 1% year-on-year, and the EBIT excluding valuation will remain unchanged in local currency terms. Slide 20 summarizes the overall valuation and the breakdown of our portfolio, which now stands at US $17.6 billion. Valuation of China portfolio has grown 4% quarter-on-quarter and 21% year-on-year to US $8.2 billion. Our Japan portfolio comprises of US $7.7 billion assets, including the J-REIT properties. Turning to our fund management platform on slide 21, leveraging our industrial expertise, which allows us to develop strong relationships with leading global institutions, the fund management platform is a highly efficient use of capital for GLP, allowing us to scale our business while delivering superior risk-adjusted returns for our company. With more than 11.1 billion assets under management, of which US 6.9 billion has been invested, our funds provide us with a steady, growing source of fee income, as well as our share of each fund's earnings. In Q4 fiscal year 2014, we recognized fund management revenue of $25 million, up more than 100% year-on-year. This comprised asset and property management fees of $10 million and development fee of $15 million. For the full year, fund fees were US $68 million up, more than 100% year-on-year. Again, it's on a 100% basis. I want to spend a little bit of time to explain how we recognize fees and the financial impact. The asset management fees and property management fees are recognized primarily in two line items, which are management fee income and the revenue, and the effect of non-controlling interest in partners. Take China Logistics Fund as example. As China Logistics Fund is a subsidiary of GLP, we consolidate the full financials, both the fund fees received by GLP and the paid by CLF, are eliminated on consolidation. However, as GLP only owns 56% of CLF, our minority investors will bear 44% of the fund fees paid by CLF. and this 44% will therefore show up as a positive in the income statement, increasing GLP economy. For the development fees under CLS, they are eligible for capitalization as they are incurred on development activities. Since the fees are capitalized, they will show up as part of the cost of investment properties on balance sheet. Upon fair evaluation of these properties in the future quarters, this capitalized fees will result in lower fair value increases. We expect fund fees to continue growing in China with the strategic expansions of our fund management platform. Slide 22 shows our strong balance sheet with net debt of $1.1 billion. On a look-through basis, our net debt to assets stands at 15%, unchanged from last quarter. Moving on to slide 23, this is our debt maturity profile as of March 31, 2014. The group's weighted average debt maturity has been extended to 4.3 years, and 72% of our debt matures in fiscal year 2017 and beyond. Considering the current favorable interest environment, fixed rate borrowing constituted approximately 73% of the total group borrowing. Turn on slide 24, our debt maturity breakdown by country. You will see details country by country. With that, I'm going to hand you back to Ambika.
Valerie, can we now open the call up for questions?
Certainly. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw a question, you may press pound or hash key. Our first question comes from the line of Sean Gardiner from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Hi, Ming. Hi, Jeff. Just quickly on China leasing, can you give us an update of how your customers are leasing in the current fiscal quarter for April/May? Are you seeing the same levels of activity as you saw in the back end of last fiscal year? And then the second question is on industrial land lease slides in China. I think there's been talk of change coming. Can you just talk about how that impacts your business in terms of your lease slides? Thanks.
Thanks, Sean. On the China leasing, again, we don't look at our business from quarter to quarter. Last quarter was especially strong because it kind of matched up with our completion. So I think a lot of that has to do with the completion schedule as well. So we will not see this quarter at the same level as the fourth quarter. So that's just a general. But again, overall,
it's not demand, it's supply.
Yeah. So again, we guide you to the total year, and we feel comfortable with those numbers. So basically, we continue to see our customer continue to have strong demand because if you can see that most of our leases, 71% of our leases, new leases, is with our existing customers. So we do have a pretty good visibility of communicating with them and understanding where the demand is coming from. So overall, we have not seen any changes in our communication with our customers. We continue to see strong demand. As far as the industrial land policies shift, I think you're referring to in Shanghai, they came out with a announcement that land auction after July 1st will be going from 50 years to 20 years. And so far, Shanghai is the only city that came out. There are people rumored that maybe Beijing will follow. I would say that it doesn't matter if Beijing follow or not. Beijing have already, they don't have much of industrial land or logistic land available in the city proper of Beijing anyway. And same thing in Shanghai. If you look at Shanghai over the last 3 years, there's only 3% of industrial land released in the system went to logistic uses. So we have anticipated these trends over the last 2 years, and two or three years. So that's why you see us positioning very strong in cities that next to Shanghai, next to Beijing, like we're in Kunshan and Suzhou, in the eastern region, and we're in Langfang and in Tianjin in the north region. So we anticipate some of these trends. For Shanghai, going from 50 years to 20 years, to do underwriting with 20 years obviously is not economical. The intention of the policy is not, is not clear to stay out, but from our understanding, the intention of the policy is to force people to utilize and develop the land that has already been sold and allocated in the hands of existing owners that are not being developed. So this will focus on idle vacant land to be developed. There is a lot of pushback from the local district government and county level, so potentially they may even revisit this again in a couple of years. But again, these are just speculations. So anyway, we are, we build our business around these trends, and we actually will continue to see, enjoy the benefit of, because we have a strong position in Shanghai and also nearby cities in Kunshan and Suzhou. We have the largest portfolio. And as you know, we always tell our team, any market that is easy to get land, don't go into that market. So we love markets that are hard to secure land, and supply of land is tight, because that's when you see where you see the most rental growth.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of David Lam from Daiwa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I think in an earlier slide I saw that you mentioned that 25% of the land that you recently acquired can be attributed to the new partners. Can you provide some color on that?
I think that 25% of the some of the new land reserve we have drawn down. We have announced some of the transactions that, since we actually been working with these for over the last past 7-8 months now, and so some of the state-owned partnerships we secure. For instance, like we had a joint venture with in the north with BMW Park. We've drawn down land from that site. That was a joint venture with Jinbei. We announced subsequently after the transaction was announced. We also have announced that we partnered up with Guangdong Holding in the south. So some of these are partly start. Paying dividend.
A follow-up, do you expect this trend to continue going forward?
Currently, 90% of land was still sourced primarily from the government directly, but we anticipate, you see policies like in Shanghai coming out, that basically Shanghai and Beijing have no supply of new land for logistic in those cities. So, the land that is sitting idle and vacant are in the hands of secondary owners, and most of them are in the hands of state-owned companies. So we anticipate this a year ago,
And that's why we've been working, targeting to partner with state-owned companies to better utilize those lands. So you will see that we will get more land from a secondary market as a percentage. But again, majority of land still come from the primary hands of the local government. But you will see more and more of the absolute amount on the secondary market, and that's aligned with our strategy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Derek Liu from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just wanted to also understand a bit about the land industrial policy land change. This 12.8 million square meters of land reserve, if the these policies were to be implemented in the different cities, would it affect the land tenure of this 12.8 million square meters?
The quick answer is obviously if the policy changes and the auction is after the policy changes, it will be impacted. Again, my assessment is that if the policy changes, it will be at most limited to two or three cities in China, and will not go beyond that. I even question the one that policy that changes in Shanghai, whether there will be pushback from the local district government. But again, you guys just focusing on the on that 50-year changing to 20-year. I think there's within the same month there's another circular came out, is that industrial land in Shanghai can be converted into other uses without going through public auctions. And I think for anyone has industrial land holdings in Shanghai, that is a potentially huge upside. As those land in the past have to go through, you get compensation from local government, and they have to go through public auction to go for other uses. But now today, encouraging existing industrial land owners, to free up those land for other uses because the site is too infill. Now the new circular came out and basically says that the land owner can, and based on different locations, can pay anywhere between 70% of original cost or 150% of the latest industrial cost, and then can convert from into higher value uses. So again, this is a very very good news for existing industrial land owners.
Oh, okay. And then out of this 12.8 million, how much will be in Shanghai?
Of the 12.8 million, virtually none is in Shanghai.
Okay. And then another question on
because we have drawn down our land reserve in Shanghai about a year ago.
Okay. Question on valuation. Can you just give us an idea like the cap rates used for the different markets and whether there was changes? I think you mentioned there was some cap rate expansion in Brazil.
There was some cap rate expansion in Brazil, which was partially offset by rental increases, by the rental indexation to inflation. Quite frankly, it was the appraisers doing it without any transaction evidence, just because they raised interest rates in the country, which I've never seen happen anywhere in the world before. But apparently that's what they do in Brazil. But it is what it is, and long term we're going to make a lot of money in Brazil, given the returns we're getting.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think.
Can you give us an idea, like the different cap rates for the different markets, and whether there were changes in Japan and China?
In Japan is relatively flat, and then in China, mainly around the first tier cities, we've seen about a 25 basis point. Compression to 6.5 on the low side.
That's
so the best location, the best properties, it could be traded as low as 6.5 cap.
So the rest would be how much?
The rest, anywhere between 7 to 7.25.
Okay. And in Japan, cap rates would be how much?
The best stuff is 4.5-5%. The average 5.2% of our portfolio. 4.5 to 6%.
Okay, so Brazil cap rates will be around 11 or 12%, right?
No, stabilized is 9.5%, 9.3%.
9.3. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Ben Tai from North Bank. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, sorry, I don't want to harp on the land policy thing in China, but I just wanted to just double check. It sounds like your growth plans were already not incorporating that much new land auction increase in Shanghai, is that correct? And it's mostly probably coming from the secondary market with all your SOE partnerships. Or has this land policy changed slightly? You know, is there some kind of adjustment to your growth intentions, I guess, from this?
Again, I think one of the things that we do a better job is that we anticipate a lot of these things happening before it happens, so it doesn't come as a surprise. You will continue to see us increase our portfolio in Shanghai. So this does not mean that we will stop growing our business in Shanghai. I think as I mentioned to you, we have a pretty good pipeline of land on the secondary and primary, because land that is already auctioned and held in the secondary market is still have grandfather 50 years in Shanghai.
Some of the best land is still held by the SOEs that have had it for a while.
I guess very simplistically, you'd argue that you're probably not going to bid on any new land in Shanghai under this policy.
I don't want to be so precise because we actually, as we speak, we have a couple land that we've drawn down, so that's why I didn't want to be so precise. We are drawing down a couple of pieces of land before the policy. But after the policy, obviously it doesn't make sense to do underwriting for 20 years. We feel very comfortable with our pipeline in Shanghai.
Okay, so your growth target is probably still maintained as you were saying before.
Yeah,
overall China.
Yeah, I think. I know you should have some confidence that when we give guidance on some numbers, we have every intention of achieving them. So we feel comfortable. We feel very comfortable with the numbers.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question is coming from webcast from Justin Pica from CBRE. He's asking a question about Brazil. He wants to know how we'll fund tranche one of the acquisition, our debt costs, and accretion.
Okay. The total Brazil acquisition is $1.3 billion. The tranche one is just a little bit over $1 billion. I currently have a cash $1.5 billion plus the proceeds from the Hopewell transaction. From cash standpoint, it will be more than able to support acquisition for this transaction. And then in Brazil, we inherited a flat debt and also going to put additional debt. Overall LTV, we're looking at about 35%. We had a great success locking in some great financing in Brazil with all-in cost, very attractive TR base, less than 10%. So we'll be in great position.
Fixed.
Right.
10-year debt.
Correct. So fixed 10-year debt to support this acquisition.
And then you could fix 10-year debt at that rate, and you're getting inflation indexation on your leases and starting at 9.6% cap rate. It becomes very accretive very fast.
right. Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Sean Gardiner from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just two follow-up questions. Firstly, Heather, on the transaction, you're saying target 35% LTV. Is that from day one? So the $1.1 billion, we should only look at 65% of the cash requirements. And then just moving on the development starts, you've sort of highlighted that you're already one-third of the way through your starts for this year and you're only 70 days into the year. You know, is there scope to do more given the strong start you've had? And if not, why not? Thanks.
Okay. Well,
you know, that's a leading question. It's not why not.
Well, you know, our business model and our underwriting and starts has always been driven by customer demand. So if not, it's because customer didn't want our facility. So we constantly communicate to our customers, and we, as you know, we only start a project if we have twice the indicative demand in the location before we start a project. So it's going to be all based on our customer demand. So far, we feel comfortable with the guideline that we give for the full year, and at this point, it's still too early to make any changes.
Okay, on the Brazil leverage, we are looking at to put on debt at the beginning. It may not be day one; it may be 3 or 5. Just processing a procedure.
Day 3 or 5, yeah, not month 3 or 5.
That's right. So we are looking to put on a debt from the beginning.
Okay, and that debt will go up to 35%. I think the previous portfolio you acquired in Brazil, the leverage was much higher, if I recall, off the top of my head.
The stabilized portfolio, it was.
Yeah.
But this debt is actually 100 basis points inside of that debt cost.
Hmm.
We did it. Our team did a great job. You know, in an environment where interest rates have risen, it's actually cheaper by 100 bps.
So that shows the economy scale. When our size and market leading position, it helps us not only from a customer's perspective, but also from a banking standpoint, we're able to get better terms.
Good point.
And
yeah.
And you've also highlighted the fact that your capital partners may participate in the future. Is there an indication of how much you're looking to sell down?
I don't think we'd go below 40%.
And is there a timetable for that those capital partners to come into the asset?
No. I mean, they're partners that are great partners and great investors and people that we have great relationships with, and we've got great cash flow in the interim, so if it happens sometime this year, that's great.
But have they actually said we're going to buy in, or the discussions are still going on?
They like the portfolio. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
They like the yield. They like the returns. It's, you know, there's only two great portfolios. Now we own both of them, or we will own both of them in Brazil, making us 4 times the size of our closest competitor. And they like all the aspects of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Sam Woward from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys, or evening, I suppose, your time in Sao Paulo. Firstly, just a question on
the development completions from last fiscal year. Just wonder if you can comment what the occupancy or total committed level on completion was and how that compared to the previous year.
It's about the same level. As I mentioned to you, now we're constantly talking to our customer and tracking their sentiment, and you know, we always look at what's the next 12 months, 24 months, and 36 months. And thus far, we have not seen any major changes. Even though headline news says that the GDP numbers have gone a little bit lower, but so far our customers that focus on domestic consumption seems like their expansion requirement continue to be same, at least as recent as a couple months ago, that when we did the last survey, and our sales team constantly talking to them, so that's why we feel confident with the strong start the first quarter.
Yeah, sorry, I was more just interested in the actual the actual occupancy on completion for the stuff that you actually completed last year.
Well, like I told you, our lease occupancy actually went up 2 basis points. So we went from 89% to 91%.
Thank you. We're close to the end of the session. We'll now hand the call back to Mr. Jeff Short.
Thank you. To everyone for dialing in. To summarize, the year 2014 began the next phase of growth at GLP. It was a year we again surpassed our goals and, more importantly, firmly established a foundation for the next phase of the company's growth with the addition of strategic Chinese partners like Bank of China, China Life, and Hopu Funds, and the relationships and how they make us part of the Chinese business fabric and allow us to take the business to the next level. Our business continues to be driven by sustainable secular trends, not cyclical ones. Although we are the market leader, we have no room to be complacent. We're raising the bar and providing logistics infrastructure solutions. That continues to be our goal. As we enter into our fiscal year 2015, we want to acknowledge the hard work and dedication of our 725 GLP associates. Our employees are the foundation of our success, and without their passion and commitment, we would not achieve the outstanding results that we can deliver. Given the quality of our team and platform and the addition of our strategic the China Consortium, we remain confident about our ability to accelerate growth, increase market penetration, and further expand our share of our customers' requirements, while eyes remain open to any further opportunities that will strengthen the business and enhance shareholder value. We will continue to be disciplined and selective in the opportunities we choose. With that, we thank you. Good night from São Paulo. Good morning in Asia. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference and webcast for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.